Bibles this morning, if you have one, and turn to the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John chapter number 13. We'll read just a few verses here in just a moment or two. Again, we want to invite you to stay for the meal afterwards. They're diligently preparing it, cooking it, and I looked at all the sides they have, and it's going to be just a smorgasbord. If you don't know what a smorgasbord is, that's a Lancaster word for a buffet, amen. It'll be a smorgasbord of food for us to eat, and then we'll come back at, I believe, 1:15. We'll have the closing ceremony for a few moments. I'll have a short challenge to the children for about 10 minutes or so, and then we'll be done for the rest of the day as we clean up and head out until 4 o'clock tomorrow. So let me just encourage you to keep inviting, keep on looking, and keep an eye out for children that in your neighborhood that would love to come be a part of that, and we can get this, fill up the children's department tomorrow afternoon. The question that I most ask, that I'm often least able to answer, is this. You say, well, Pastor Carroll, what is it? You've intrigued me. Is it the great doctrinal truths of our salvation? No, not necessarily. Does it have to do with the triunity of God? Can you answer the deepest questions about the triunity of God? No, that's not it. You say, well, Brother Dave's teaching on the book of Revelation, and we think of prophecy in the book of Zechariah, and the book of Isaiah, the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation. Is that one of those things that you're asked? Are you most likely not to be able to answer? No, that's not it as well. It might stump me for a few moments, but God's word always has an answer, amen. I think the question that I'm least able to answer, that people ask me the most, is simply this. One little word, it's why. Why did I lose my job? Why did my loved one die? Why did this horrible tragedy have to take place? Why was I in this car accident when it wasn't even my fault? I think too many people erroneously ask this question. They say, why, God, did you do this? I think that's wrong thinking and wrong theology. I think we ought to be say something like this. God, why did you allow this to happen into my life? I think that's better than saying, God, why did you do that? We say, God, why did you allow this to happen in my life? And I wish I could tell you exactly how God does things and why he does things and how he does things. But quite honestly, I can't answer the why question for you. I could suggest some possibilities, but guess what? It'll be a guessing game for me, just like it would be a guessing game for you. And I think it's best to not try to answer this question of why did God do this? All of our life experiences really could be ground down into two different categories. They could be pleasant, or they could be painful. And it's interesting to me that when something good happens to our life, we don't actually stop and ask God why. You ever stopped and asked God this? God, why did I get this promotion? God, why was my child born healthy? God, why did you bless me like this? I think most of the time we only begin to ask the question why when something happens that we do not enjoy or it's hard for us to deal with. Kind of like the boy was being questioned by his mother about the low grade that he received on his math test in school. The answer, he answered his mother as to why his grade was so low. He said this, it was the teacher's fault. And by the way, it seems like that's every kid's answer, isn't it? It's not my fault, it's my teacher's fault. He went on to say, I had all the right answers, Mom, but you asked the wrong questions. And far too often, you and I are just like that. We ask the wrong questions. And instead of asking why, we need to ask ourselves this. What am I to learn? What am I to do in my life? What am I to change because of this thing you allowed into my life? God, where am I to serve you better? How am I going to accomplish this task, God? And when do I start this task? When will I see the results of this task that you have asked me for? Having given that introduction, let's stand and we'll read John chapter 13, excuse me, verses 1 through 7, and then we'll pray as we think on this thought. Someday we will understand. Someday we will understand. Notice what the Bible said in John 13. We'll read down through verse number 7. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I think there's a lesson for you and I in there somewhere if you pray about it. Verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil, having now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and lay aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And notice verse number 7. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Father, we bow our head and our hearts before you this morning. Father, thank you for the gathering of these people that are here today. And I pray, Father, that you would be a help to them in this matter of someday we will understand. So, Father, would you bless now the preaching and teaching of your word? Father, would you save that one that needs to be saved today, never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior? Challenge us as Christians, Father. Give us hope, understanding that someday we will understand. So, Father, be with all that's going on in the remainder part of this building, Father. Bless the teachers, those that are doing crafts, those that are preparing the food, those that are working in the music. Father, just be a help to everyone today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated today. I want you to notice, first of all, look in the first part of verse number 7. As we think about this thought of someday we will understand. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Notice in verse number 7, what I do, what I do. As we look at this thought of what I do, I want you to understand this. The Lord is doing something in the life of his children. I want you to understand that God is not idly sitting by waiting for something to happen. Oftentimes, that's the case with you and I. We're reactive rather than proactive. And we don't want to get involved, but if something happens, we'll jump right into it. But understand this, that God is not sitting on his throne idly waiting for something to happen. He's actively working in our lives of those who have put their faith and their trust in him. In Ephesians 2, in verse number 10, we find these words, for we are his workmanship. Now we think about this word workmanship. I want you to think of it not physically, not speaking about the creation that he made us, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the sight of God. I want you to look at this word workmanship in the spiritual sense of things. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. I want you to see from this verse and other verses as well, that God is doing a work not only in us, but through us. Philippians 2, verses 13, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he says this, for it is God which worketh, notice the wording, in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Paul also writing in Hebrews 13 and verse 21 says this, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing to his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. You understand this, that God, first of all, has to do a work in us so that he can work through us. And God can never work through us if he doesn't do the work in us. And oftentimes, God desires for us to do great and mighty things for him. That's his perfect will for our life. But our problem is this. We don't allow him to work in us, to mold us, to make us, so we can have good works that bring him honor and glory. Notice secondly, the Lord is working according to his plan. Understand this morning that God always has a plan. He has a plan when he created this world. We go all the way back to the book of Genesis and chapter number 1 and chapter number 2 and chapter number 3. We can see that God had a plan when he created this world. When he created the sun, moon, and stars. When he divided the night from the day. When he created man. When he created all the animals. And Adam came and named all the animals. God had a plan for his created world. Understand this as well, that God has a plan for our salvation. You see, God's plan for salvation was set apart for in eternity. And God, the Father, sold His Son, Jesus Christ, had to come to the cross of Calvary, and there He would die as a sinner for you and I. Although the Bible says He was a man who knew no sin, yet became sin for you and I. And because of what He has done for us, you and I can enjoy an eternity with Him in heaven if we repent of our sin and put our faith and trust in Him. We're not saved by our good works, although some teach that. We're not saved by giving of the offering, as some teach as well. We're not saved by our good deeds. We're saved by our faith or our trust in what Christ has done for us. You see, if Christ had sinned on this earth, He could not have been the perfect sinless sacrifice. Only someone that was perfect, only someone that was sinless could pay our debt for you and our sin. God has a plan for the created world. God has a plan for salvation. But He also has a plan for reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that plan includes you and I, a soul winning. It includes our outreach program. And yes, believe it or not, even our vacation Bible school is also a plan that God has for us reaching the lost with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I think about our outreach ministries that we meet here twice a month and go hang door hangers and some knock on doors, inviting people to come to know Christ as their Savior. I think about a Grace-Giving Missions Conference that you just heard about coming the second week of September. That is God's plan for getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world. But most importantly, He's using those who He has redeemed. He's using those who have been saved, those who have been born again. Let me just say this. If you're saved here today, that means me and that means you. He's using you to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a plan for maturing believers as well. You say, well, what is His plan that we might grow in maturity? Well, same thing it always has been. It's our regular communication with God the Father through prayer. A regular communication with God as we read His Word and He speaks to our heart. It has to deal with being faithful in our church attendance. I'm simply saying this morning that God always has a plan. And even when you and I do not understand the plan of God for our life, guess what? He still has a plan. I want you to pound that thought into your brain this morning, that God still has a plan. Notice thirdly, God's work in love for our good. God works in love for our good. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse number 3, the Bible says this. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You understand this morning that everything that God does is rooted in love. You say, well, why is that? Because God's essence is love. And even when we don't understand the way that He's working in our lives, we still trust the heart of God. His love is everlasting. His love is unchanging. And He's always, always working for our good. Sometimes His love is shown in blessings that come our life. And sometimes on Wednesday evenings, we have prayer, praise, and blessing time where we hear how God has blessed you. And thank God for that. Sometimes He shows His love in blessing. And sometimes He shows it in His correction or our discipline of us, or sometimes the hardship that He allows us to go through. Understand this, that no matter how God shows us His love, He still loves us so very much. Notice fourthly, God never makes a mistake. We find that familiar verse in Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Probably some of you have that memorized, and that's a verse that you go back to routinely. But understand this morning, trying to figure out everything out that God is working in our life is just going to leave us frustrated and leave us burdened. There's no way that you and I, with our finite minds, can comprehend all that God is doing. And here's the truth. We'll never fully understand His methods. We'll never fully fully understand the timing of God down here on this earth. And we're really just wasting our time when we try to figure out what God is doing. Even when we don't understand, we still have some responsibilities. We have the responsibilities to believe Him. We have the responsibility to still trust in Him. We have the responsibility to accept the direction and the pathway that God is leading us through. Faith must carry us when understanding cannot. That's what faith is all about. It's believing although we don't see. And faith must carry us when we understand, we don't understand things. Here's the truth. We may not know the reason why God allows things to come into our life right now. But guess what? We do know the one who holds that reason in His being. And someday what's hidden now will make perfect sense in the days to come. Well, not only do we see in the first part of verse 7, we see what I know. But notice secondly, the Bible says in the second part of that verse, thou knowest not now. Thou knowest not now. For when there are times in our life when we don't understand everything that God is doing. Right now, we don't understand everything that God is doing. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah is one of the major prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Turn to the book of Isaiah chapter number 40. And we'll begin reading in verse number 28, Isaiah 40. In verse number 28, for now we don't understand everything that God is doing in our lives. And by the way, let me just say that is okay. Notice what the Bible said in Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them which have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Understand today that God's understanding is far greater than our understanding. There's some things that you and I can't explain because God's wisdom is far beyond our human comprehension. And when what looks confusing to you and I is never confusing to God. Listen, God never has to guess at something. He never has to revise and never has to take a second look at His plan. Let me help you this morning. There is no plan B with God. There's only God's perfect plan for our life. God sees what you and I cannot see. And we ought to be thankful for that. If we could see and know all that God knows about us, all that's coming into the future, probably a lot of us would just go stir crazy. We only see the in the present moment, but God sees the whole path from the very beginning all the way till we graduate and go to glory. He knows what's ahead, He knows what lies beneath, and He knows what's working behind the scenes in our life. And many times what troubles us the most is already being used by God for a greater purpose in our life. Think about this for a moment. God is never weary in His work, according to this verse. The Bible said He fainteth not, neither is He weary. Understand, the Lord never gets tired. He never runs out of strength. He never reaches the end of His patience, as you and I oftentimes do. And when we're tired and we're slam wore out, God is still fully able to accomplish His will with great power and great strength. And when our faith is weak, guess what? His power is still strong. Notice in verse number 31, we see waiting on the Lord is part of God's process oftentimes. You know, we don't like to wait. Just yesterday, I made the mistake of going to Walmart to pick a few things up that we needed to make for today, and I forgot what day it was, and we waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. It seemed like we waited an hour, but it probably was 10 minutes or 15 minutes at the most. But you know, when you wait, it just seems like time just seems to drag on, and nobody likes to wait, but waiting is where God oftentimes does the greatest work in our lives, as we wait upon the Lord. He teaches us in this waiting period to depend upon Him, to trust His timing, and to draw strength from God's presence that surrounds us if you allow Him to do so in that waiting period. We often see delay as proof that God has forgotten us. How many have been there before? We're praying for an answer. We're waiting, and we don't hear from God. And God's timing is not our timing, and God's plan is not our plan. And we say, God, where are you at? You must have forgotten about me. But listen, my friends, that is not true. We don't have to understand everything to trust God. Faith isn't built by having all the answers. Let me tell you that. Faith is built on knowing the one who does have all the answers. And we may not understand the reason for the burden or the trial or the tribulation we're going through, but we still believe that the Lord is good, He's wise, and He's always right. God's hidden purposes will one day be made clear. And what is a mystery now for you and I will not always remain a mystery. And there's coming a day when we can look back and see how God was working all along. You ever been there and done that before? You go through some trial and you're praying, we're looking to hear from God, and it seems like our deadline is coming past, and God says, just wait for me. Just wait for me. Step out by faith, just wait for me. And when God shows up in His perfect time, in His perfect will, and meets our need, we look back and we can see how God orchestrated every step of the path that we were on. And then, and only then, will we understand what we could not understand before. Well, notice something else. We're to walk in the light that God has given us. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 119 and verse 105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the very first Bible that I received, that I had gotten after I trusted Christ as my Savior, my mother wrote that verse in there and said, and verbally told me, live by this verse and you'll never go wrong. Listen, God doesn't give us all the light at once. Now, we probably would like that until we get it, and then we're like, oh no, I'm not interested in that. He gives us enough light to make it to the next step. And that next step is we must follow Him. And many times, we want God to show us the whole road all at once, but most of the time, He only shows us just enough to keep walking in obedience. He shows us this, and we walk in obedience. Then He shows us this, we walk in obedience. And we understand that the Word of God is our guide, even when we don't understand, when the pathway's still dark and the reasons seem unclear in our life, God still has given us His Word. The Bible oftentimes will not directly answer every question that you have, but it will give us direction. It will give us guidance for every step that you and I need to take. And because of that, we are responsible for the light that He has shown us. You know, God really expects us to obey what He already has made known to us. God's not obligated to reveal more until you do what He already has asked you to do. It's not our job to demand more light before we obey. It's our job to walk faithfully in the light that He has already given us. Are you looking for an answer from God? Obey what He already asked you to do. He's then obligated to give you more light if you haven't obeyed the light that He already has given you. More light comes as we keep walking in obedience towards Him. And sometimes the next step only comes clear after we have obeyed the last one. And God often reveals His will to you and I gradually, so we learn to depend upon Him day by day. Well, notice the last part of verse number 7. We see what I know. We see what thou knowest not now. But notice lastly, thou shalt know hereafter the third part of verse number 7. Here's the truth. Someday we will understand. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 in the New Testament. If you're in John 13, to continue to turn right. John 13, verse number 12. This passage of Scripture is written for our learning and admonition, as Paul said. Notice what it said, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. Right now, our view is very limited. We see fragments, but not the whole picture. And we know enough to believe, we know enough to obey, we know enough to trust, but not enough to understand everything that God is doing in our life. And there are things in our life that simply don't make sense in the moment that we think we should understand. We often don't understand a loss of a loved one. We don't often understand a delay that God allows to come into our life. We don't often understand a disappointment in our life or maybe a painful burden. But what's unclear now will not always remain unclear. One day, you and I will see clearly. One day, all the pieces are going to fit together. One day, the questions that troubled us will be answered in the light of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we could not see by faith, we will then see by our sight. This verse reminds us that our understanding now is just partial. We look through the glasses darkly, but our understanding then at that point will be complete. Today we live with mystery, but someday we're going to live with revelation. Today we trust what we don't know. Someday we'll know as we are known, the Bible says. Well, notice, not only will we understand someday, but it gets a little bit better than that. Notice this. We will know Him and understand. You know, people talk about questions they want answered when they get to heaven. There's many things that we don't understand here. And I hear people say it over and over again. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this. We wonder why certain things happened. Why our prayers never got answered. Why sorrow came at the moment that it did. Why God allowed what He allowed to come into our life. But what, listen, when we stand in front of the presence of the Lord, those situations are no longer going to seem as important as they do to our hearts right now. His presence is going to change our perspective completely. We may not even care about them at the time. And when we see Jesus Christ face to face, the things that trouble us now will be seen in the light of Jesus Christ's glory. The burdens that seem so heavy on our hearts right now will be far different when we stand in front of Christ. What once seemed confusing to you and I will no longer dominate our thoughts. And the answer that we get from Christ will not be come from the information He gives us. The answer will be in the person of Jesus Christ. And I personally feel that when we stand in front of Jesus Christ, a lot of the why questions that we say, God, why, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask You, are not really going to matter anymore. No longer are we going to even be thinking about those things. Right now we want explanations, but then we'll have something far better than an explanation of why God allowed things to happen into our life. You say, well, what's that? We're going to have a perfect fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And having that, we'll know that He was wise and good and right in everything that He did. And there's no reason for these why questions. We'll understand enough to be satisfied because we'll see that nothing was wasted, nothing was random in our lives, and nothing was outside God's loving purpose for our life. In John chapter 3 and verse 2, we find these words. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And when we see Jesus Christ as He is, our questions are going to be answered in His presence. His glory is going to bring understanding. It's going to bring peace and complete satisfaction to every redeemed heart in heaven. And notice, thirdly, this knowledge of Him only comes when sin is removed from the picture and our thought process. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12, again I'll read that verse. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. Right now, sin clouds our understanding. It affects the way that we think, the way that we feel, and even the way that you and I interpret the way God is working in our lives. And because we still live in a fallen world, and we still struggle in this sin nature, our perspective is often limited and distorted of what God is doing. And we can't always see clearly because our hearts and minds aren't free from weaknesses, from our selfishness, our pride, and fear. And unbelief that always brings sin into our life. You see, sin not only damages our conduct, it also affects our comprehension. It can make us question the goodness of God. It can make us doubt His wisdom and misread His dealings with us. And many times we assume that if we can't understand something, it must not be right. But the problem is not with God's plan, because God's plan is always right. The problem is that we have a limited and we have an imperfect view of God's perfect plan for our lives. And once we're finally delivered from this presence of sin, and when all the effects of sin are removed from our mind and our hearts, then our understanding of God will be complete. And no longer will we be hindered by confusion and bitterness and temptation, or the lingering effects of our fallen nature. Then we'll see things as they really are, and God's way will make perfect sense in our life. But as we close this morning, in every season of life, we may not understand what God is doing and how He is working and why He is working, but we can trust Him for who He is. His plan is perfect, His timing is wise, and His love, thank God, never fails. And what is hidden now, one day, will be made clear, and when we see Christ, our questions will be answered in His very presence. Until then, He challenges you and I. I challenge you and I to walk by faith, to obey His word, rest in the assurances that someday we will understand. And if you're here today and do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may not understand everything about life, but you can understand this, that Jesus Christ died for your sin. He was buried and rose again 3 days later, that you might have this opportunity to be forgiven of your sin and have eternal life. You don't have to wait until tomorrow. You don't have to have every answer to every problem before you come to Him. You can come to Him right now by faith. You can turn from your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Remember, He loves you with an everlasting love. He died for you, and He will save all who come to Him in repentance by faith. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning.